in the same case as Blog Talk Radio. Arguments. He was dealing with the recount litigation. And I think we have, do we still have the sound to play? Not even that. I want you to, my bad. Just going to show you this. I want you to notice how even then, he knew the game. He was doing.
Thank you. Hello, this is Cyrus.
Hi, Cyrus. I've got Tony Keith Jr. standing by for you. He's just wrapping up an interview.
Yeah, we're all set for Tony whenever you guys are ready. Just to let you know, this will be airing today at 1:30 p.m. Eastern.
1:30? Great. Give me about 30 seconds.
Do you have us for 10 or 15 for this segment?
What's that?
Do you have us for 10 or 15 for this segment?
I have you down for 10.
Okay, great.
Okay, stand by. I'll have them to you in about 30 seconds.
All right.
Cyrus, what's happening?
Hello, Tony. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Yeah. We're going to go ahead and start the taping for you, okay?
That sounds like a plan.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in through iHeartRadio and Amazon Music, we're glad you all could join us as well. We're excited to welcome author Tony Keith Jr. to our broadcast today. He's written a powerful new book that I think is something all ages can be able to appreciate. If you've ever been able to look at your journey and think about where you've come from, what made you who you are, but also what's been like for you to be able to be comfortable in your own skin, Tony's book will definitely resonate with you. It's called How the Boogeyman Became a Poet. We're going to talk to Tony not only about the writing of the book, but what it's been like for him to share his story with the world and to be able to inspire people along the way. Tony, thank you again for stopping by the broadcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, 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 really glad to be here. And thank you for that wonderful affirmation about the book. Wow.
Well, it's true, and I'm going to get into Pastor Jenkins here in a bit because I got a chance to read the book, Tony, so I'm appreciative about that. But I want to ask you about this journey, even the title itself, How the Boogeyman Became a Poet. What has it been like for you to think about how the fears, how the uncertainty have all led you to where you are today?
Yeah, so it has been a mixture of a complete vulnerability, I mean, especially to just have poems and memories and stories written about those memories that no one has ever really heard before, from, you know, my family to close friends, and to unpack all of that and to put this in the book where the whole world is going to sit and experience.
Yeah.
It's vulnerable, right? Like it's vulnerable, but it's also extremely freeing, right? Because to your point, I know that, you know what, if anything, readers, hopefully anybody who's dealing with an identity-related challenge will be able to find something in this book for them. And that's the thing I think about is, you know, there's something about, you know, my boogie person was, you know, internalized racism and internalized homophobia and internalized sort of like a poverty-based kind of mindset. For other people, their boogie people might be something completely different. And so that metaphor, I think, I wanted folks to understand, you know, it can represent so many things, but you don't have to be afraid. And to find your voice, for me, I found it through poetry.
Yeah, and I think that's the great thing. I mentioned Pastor Jenkins. When I got to that part of the book, I thought it was so interesting because, of course, for their own reasons, and some of it is because of what has happened with religion, Tony, unfortunately, is that a lot of people do not have a great thought or great appreciation for the idea of faith or you know, even those who are supposed to be preachers, right, or in a church. But you talk about something that I think a lot of people can relate to, and that is someone seeing something in you that sometimes you don't see in yourself. And I love the fact that as you shared that with Pastor Jenkins about what his words were in the congregation, how you were able to personalize that. Talk to us about that moment and how that helped you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked me that question. Because in this book, I absolutely do wrestle with my spiritual identity and my sexuality because they intersected at around the same time. And so what I want readers to know is that, you know, in this book, I have memories of, you know, I used to be a member of a youth church choir in the D.C. metro area. I won't say specifically which one. They know who I was. Mm-hmm. But and I remember feeling conflicted, of course, because I, you know, feeling that I'm gay, again, I had not kissed anybody, I hadn't done anything. I don't do anything with a boy in this book until I'm well into college, right? So if someone were to ask me, Tony, are you gay, I would have said no, but like to feel that and also experience God in church, right? And when I say God, I don't necessarily mean Christianity in this respect, but this feeling of just like overwhelming joy, right? And like, or just sort of like feeling very seen. I remember singing, and I write about in this book, like being able to sing out to God and how that psalm, how that prayer, what that felt like, how relieving it was, like just to get that emotion out. That influenced my ability to perform, right? So even nowadays, when I perform poetry on a stage, I tell folks, if you see me close my eyes, I have transcended. I'm in a whole different space. Me and God in conversation, me and ancestors are doing a thing. That's what this word and this language is about. So I don't want to make it sound like it's too spooky, but, you know, there's a spirituality to my poetry. And I, you know, do not identify as a Christian. I just wanted to say that for the record. But there's a spirituality to my poetry, and I understand the significance of the Black church when it comes to the spoken word. And I wanted that to show up in here. I'm like, I can move crowds like a preacher can move a congregation, right? Like a teacher can move a classroom. That comes from things.
Well, I want to talk to you about that and the external impact of it, Tony, because what you just said is going to be the key for a lot of people to know it's okay to feel that way. How does that feel to know that something that is so personal, right, is something that is bigger than you and can impact the lives of others?
What a really, really powerful question. You know, the only thing I keep thinking about is I go to poetry to answer questions about myself. And I say this in the book, that I ask myself about myself when no one is around to hear me thinking inside of my own head, right? When, you know, when I'm in those spaces where, like, you know, I'm dealing with something, I'm feeling something, I don't quite know how to wrestle with this thing, I got to write it out. To me, it's like a prayer. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, it's really what it's like. It's like praying. And so for me, I'm like, there's got to be something bigger in this world that can help me figure all this stuff out. Otherwise, where'd the poetry come from? You know, I was telling someone the other day, I was like, you know, if anything, I do know that every day I wake up, I'm a human being living on a planet that is rotating in space. This is facts. When I go outside and look up in the sky, there's stars. Okay, so there's a planet. Like, I think that there's some bigger thing going on, and I don't believe that bigger thing wants me to hate myself. And I don't think that bigger thing wants anybody to hate anybody. I think that bigger thing wants us all to love each other and to love ourselves and to find the humanity in all of us. And I think that for me, is where it's at. So I'm like, yeah, I want people to read this thing and know that I believe that there's something bigger and greater going on, and it does not want me to not be free.
Yeah. Well, Tony, I have to ask you this question because it is kind of the elephant in the room of a book like this. This book could not have been, I think, so readily accepted 10 years ago. How does it feel to know that in 2024, by people picking up How the Boogeyman Became a Poet, people can be able to identify and be able to not only to hear your words, but to feel their words for themselves?
Yeah. You know, it is one of the most affirming experiences of my life right now. You know, I've performed on stages, and I've received, like, claps. And this is the important thing about this, right, is this is my very first book. I've got another one coming, too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I receive receptions from audiences on stages. I've had people clap and applaud for me, like, Tony! However, I won't see everybody who reads this book. And I might not even meet everyone who reads this book, so I may not know what kind of reception I might ever get. But I tell you what, the people who send me pictures of their young people reading this book right now, the people who, my hairstylist, he, gay black man also from D.C., I was sitting under the dryer getting my hair done last week, and he was sitting in the nook of the hair salon reading my book, and he was so deeply engaged. That, for me, is what it's all about. It's like, this. I'm so glad this book is now able to be in the hands of not only younger readers, but even adult readers who probably wish they would have had this book when they were kids, too. The healing.
Yeah.
That's happening in both spaces, I think, is what really, I mean, it's truly, it's an affirmation. It feels very, very powerful. It feels like love is kind of the best way I can describe it. It's God. It feels very much like a human,
gotcha.
It's like, wow, like, yeah.
and now people can experience it. Again, everyone, Tony Keith Jr. has been our guest. How the Boogeyman Became a Poet is the book. Also, make sure you guys are staying connected with Tony. You can find him at TonyKeithJr.com. Tony, congratulations to you again, man. Really appreciate the time, and looking forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you so much. Peace. You take care.
Thank you as well. And we thank you, our audience, for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.